It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount Plus. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.
New CBS Monday.
Federal agents!
Hands where we can see them!
NCIS Hawaii is back.
About to set it up!
New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violin Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10, 9 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Husker 24/7 Cruton Talk. Mike Schaefer here. Mike Sauter over there. Mike, how you doing?
Well, I feel honored and blessed to receive an offer to be on your show.
Yeah. How many offers is that for you now?
I think I'm honored and blessed to receive my 15th Division I offer from you guys. Which I always find is a little odd when it says like honored and blessed or whatever to receive my fifth offer. And then they list the school and it's like, well, they can only offer you once, I think maybe twice, but once normally.
No one's too worried about grammar on social media these days. So yeah. I think I speak for everybody when I say that. The reason Mike Sauter joins us here on Friday, August 19th, we have week zero football games. The Nebraska high school season is upon us, and no one that I know of anyways has been to more practices this month that isn't affiliated with one team, I suppose, than Mike Sauter. And so who better to bring on? And we're going to dive into what it looks like this year, mostly in Class A. That's probably where we're going to spend most of our time. We'll dabble into a little Ben Bramer talk and a little Brock Knutson talk. Maybe I'll get your thoughts on Carter Nelson. I'm sure you haven't made it out to Ainsworth yet, but I'm sure you do have thoughts on Carter Nelson. So we'll dive into some of the recruiting stuff a little bit later. But I just wanted to get just sort of your general thoughts on a few teams that you've seen around the metro, because it feels like there's probably three teams that have been elevated to sort of favorite status, if you will, in Bellevue West, Creighton Prep, and then, of course, Omaha West Side. Is that a fair kind of look at it from all the way over here in Lincoln? Those seem like the top three teams in the state to me.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think there's five that you can make a very realistic case.
Can I guess the other two?
Yeah.
Well, one of them should be Gretna, which returned Zane Flores, and they won the state title last year, as far as you and I are willing to care about.
Yeah.
And I think that they are still going to be pretty good. I just don't know. It took the perfect set of circumstances for them last year. And I don't mean to take anything away from it, but it worked out really well. It's going to be tough, I think, to repeat. And then your fifth team. Oh man. Millard South.
Elkhorn South.
Elkhorn South. Well, I had one of the words right out of the two.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's that.
I think those five are like the for sure you could absolutely see any of those five winning the state title. And there isn't a clear like, oh my gosh, they're just so much better than everybody right now, where we sit right now. I think those five are it. And then I think there's two more that if things go right, they're probably going to have a hiccups or two, you know, three, maybe like it'll take some time to get used to it stuff. So I think there's a total of seven, but I think for sure those five, the other two are Omaha North and Millard South.
Okay.
I just think, you know, they have new quarterbacks or new systems or new coaches. Jared Meisenberg is left Omaha North as the defensive coordinator to go to Omaha Westview as the girls track coach. He was the defensive coordinator at North for 20 years. And so that's a big deal.
Oh yeah.
And he's one of the best defensive coaches that we have in the state, or had or have, you know, however you want to slice it there. But, and then Millard South, obviously new head coach, totally new offensive system. Defense is going to be similar. Defense has a bunch of really good athletes at linebacker, and Cam Cozall is going to play quarterback for the majority of the season when he's not playing baseball, and he likely could be playing for the USA baseball team, under 18 baseball team in Japan for 4 weeks and miss four games in the middle of the season.
Normal occurrence in high school.
Yeah. I mean, so if that happens, like, what do they do there? And, you know, there's backups that are good enough and all of that. I think they can figure it out, but North South's going to look totally different on offense. They obviously graduated a ton of talent last year, but they still have some that you feel good about. You know, Gretna is one of their biggest questions. Is Mick Huber did so much for them last year. He, you know, we're talking about a guy that rushed for, I think it was over 1,100 mm-hmm. yards, and he had on offense, and he had like 112 tackles on defense, and that's in Class A. And, you know, that's like eight man numbers, right? Like, or, you know, small town guys that have to play both ways and stuff. He did that on a Class A level. And another guy for Gretna that I think they're going to, you know, really hurt to lose was Braden Cheney at defensive back and kind of kick returner wide receiver that kind of opened things up for them. And Stillman's gone as a wide receiver. So it's going to be the Joe Roll show, and Joe Roll at wide receiver was really good for them last year. So he's their lead receiver for sure. And obviously you have Zane Flores. Whenever you have the best quarterback in the state, and I think he's the best quarterback that we've seen in at least a decade. I truly believe that. And Elite 11 finalist, the last time that happened for a Nebraska kid was never. So
it's a good last time.
Yeah.
How did it work out for never in college?
Right? Yeah. Actually, Max Duggan was the last one, even, you know, in the area.
In the area, yeah.
Yeah. And he's, you know,
let's say that went pretty well for Max Duggan.
Yeah, it's gone decently well for him. And so, you know, I think Zane's just really, really good. And he can change the game for you. So Mason Goldman is back for Gretna, and he's going to play kind of both ways. A guy that last year I loved, and I think he's going to have even a bigger year this year. He had eight sacks for them, Corver Dema. He's got some D2 interest right now, and I think that kid is good. He's relentless, right? Exactly what you need. He's like, you know, he's not Maverick Noonan level, but he's pretty dang good, and he's going to make a lot of plays for them. So, and, you know, I guess while I'm just sticking on Gretna, Isaiah Weber is going to be the running back. He played linebacker last year as a sophomore. Looks to be the lead back. I think they're going to have a couple that they're going to use, try and get some of that production. But, you know, losing Mick Huber is a big, big deal for them.
Yeah. Keep working through this. You hit off three teams here. How about Elkhorn South?
Elkhorn South is, you know, they're, I think, a couple of key things for them, right? So Maverick Noonan is phenomenal. I went to their practice on Monday, and in the rain, you know, kids could have complained about it and all that. But in the rain, Maverick Noonan is just out there. While his teammates are like dancing to the music and stuff, he's just laser focused. And he chased down, and Cole Ballard is their running back, who, by the way, over 1,000 yard back, really good back for them, really good. He probably isn't talked about enough as a really good high school player in Nebraska, but Cole Ballard is going to start at safety for them and at running back again for them, and they're going to run the ball. Like, that's just kind of what they do. They will try and spread it out a little bit, but one of the things that impressed me kind of the most is, and he's done this a lot in his career, and you've seen it in games, but Maverick Noonan just chased down Cole Ballard from like 20 yards opposite field, just beeline, like talking about, you know, we're talking about practice. And he literally, I was just like, huh, like that's the guy, right? You know, like, that's just awesome. And he's bigger and stronger. He is gonna, I don't know how, like, you're gonna have to double him or chip block him or something, because he's there and he's not a finished product, which is even better. I think his best football is ahead of him. When Maverick Noonan gets to Lincoln, he's gonna be pretty good. I think he's the pass rusher guy if he's healthy, right? I think he's the pass rusher guy that Nebraska's really, really needed. And this isn't really a knock against Garrett Nelson. I saw them both in high school, but Maverick Noonan is a better version of Garrett Nelson when Garrett Nelson was in high school. He's a much better version, actually. And Garrett's turned himself into a really good player. And so I think the projection is to be probably better. And that's, as a Nebraska fan, that's what you want.
Yep.
You know, one guy for them is Ashton Murphy. He's a junior. That's a guy that I know Nebraska, when they went to their team camp at Elkhorn South, went to their team camp. He's a guy that really popped for them. About 6'5" and probably about 240 right now. He'll play both ways for them. Ashton Murphy is a name to kind of keep in the back of your mind. So as a guy for Elkhorn South, I think he's pretty good. And the up front, they're good. Like,
yeah, they're good. That's what they're known for.
Right. Linemen and defense and all that, like defensive line.
One of the best trench teams in the state every year.
Right. They just kind of have been, and that's what they are. They're really good. And I think Cole Ballard's going to have a big year again. Another guy for Elkhorn South that played corner. He's going to play corner and wide receiver is Jackson Moeller Swan. He's long. He's super physical. Coach Rosenberg even told me when I asked about him, he said he's the most physical defensive back he's had since he's been there. So at Elkhorn South, and they've had some nice players, i.e. Moses Bryant was one. So that's, you know, that's a key. The thing for them is, how much will they be able to throw it? Obviously they have a new quarterback. Yep. You know, they have two that are pretty good. It's, Carson Runner and Madden Riggs. Runner is a junior, Riggs is a sophomore. Riggs maybe throws it a little bit better. At least that's what I saw on Monday. Breaking those guys in, and how much will they trust it down the line? I think they always kind of fall back to just kind of running the ball. So, which works if your line's that good. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move from Elkhorn South to a team where we know the line is that good. We know they're going to run the football. They might be as complete of a team as you're going to find in Class A, and that's Creighton Prep, where you got Charmar Brown, and he gets to run behind Nebraska commit Sam Sledge, and I believe Princeton commit Rocky Marcellino. So what else do people need to know about Creighton Prep? Because those are kind of the headliners, but you were telling me, you know, a couple weeks ago when you first went to their practice, they're deep, and they're better than what you might even expect coming in.
Yeah, so Sledge obviously returns. He plays left tackle for them. Rocco Marcellino plays right tackle for them. Rocco's committed to Princeton, and Sledge obviously Nebraska. They return not just all of their starting offensive line, they return the two backups behind their starting offensive line. So their top seven offensive linemen return.
For the best offensive line in the state.
Easily. Like, I don't think that is not even up for debate.
They have Charmar Brown. Like, it's kind of unfair in a way. Yeah.
Yes. So like Sledge, Marcellino, Cole Jarrett at left guard. I really like their center, Jacob Brandel. Christian Lewis is back at right guard. So like their whole line's back. So you have Marty Brown, who's committed to North Dakota State, who's big, strong, physical, rushed for over 1,000 yards and 15 touchdowns, splitting time. But they have two other guys that are good, and their fullback is really good. George Egan is a really good, strong, physical, just like neck roll, neck roll fullback, middle linebacker guy. That's George Egan. He's like your stereotypical guy, literally wears a neck roll. So Caden Russell is a senior, and then John Pargo is a senior, and Pargo will be kind of the third back, but he'll play wide receiver too, and he's a starter on as a defensive back. They are very good in the box on offense and defense, very good. The outside is going to be the question. Dean Donaldson comes in at quarterback. He's a little bit of an upgrade at quarterback from what they had last year. He's just a junior. He's never played in a varsity game in his life. So, big environment. I think there's going to be a ton of people at the week zero Bellevue West game tonight. And so what are those emotions like? And he transferred from Bellevue West. So that's definitely something. A name to kind of look out for is Noah Vedrill's little brother, Ezra Vedrill. They have some packages for him on offense. He'll play some linebacker too. He's kind of a track guy, like hurdler guy. All the Termans / Vedrills are like 300 hurdlers. They just are all really good at it. So it's like a thing in their family, I guess. So that's, something to look out for there. Their skill is going to be the little bit of a question, but in the box, they're really good. And if I'm them, I'm running that thing into the ground. Yeah. So that's just what I would do. I wouldn't try and get too cute. I would just run and run some more.
If you want to win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has 3 episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts. So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the 3 things that make it stand out for me are, number 1, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number 2, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the 3rd thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
All right. Well, their opponent tonight is Bellevue West, and we'll do a little bit of a preview on that coming up. But Bellevue West has an interesting team, I think, this year, because they have to replace some really notables, and that's what they do at Bellevue West. I mean, they just have to replace every year different guys who step up for them. But it feels like in the offseason, Daniel Kalen, their expected quarterback, made a pretty sizable jump. And it's quite possible that a Bell West team that has been sort of blessed with great wide receivers and pretty good quarterbacks might have their best combination of those things now if Daniel Kalen can take that and put it into the regular season. What have you seen from him this offseason, and what have you seen from Bellevue West when you went over to their practice the other day?
Yeah, Danny Kalen is he's matured physically. He's always had a good football like mine. His IQ is really good, but he's matured mentally too. I just think like the early kind of offers and that pressure that went with that, and he wasn't ready to be a high school starter. That was more based on just like projecting out.
Sure.
I think that people labeled him as like, oh, no, he's not good. Look at these are fake offers and all this stuff. He's pretty good. Like he made two throws that in their team kind of session portion. Now, how did he fit that in there?
Mm-hmm.
And it, like super accurate and all that. Now getting him off the spot is going to be key. But I do, I will say this. I do think he can use his legs way more than people give him credit for.
Sure.
So he kind of showed that in the practice that it was at, you know, if you watch 7-on-7 in June, you don't really see that, because they can't run. Mm-hmm. So his, I think there's some stuff in there where, like, they always like to have design kind of QB draws and things. And that's no different. I think he's very capable of doing that. Yeah. You know, there, I'll give you one kind of name here for, as far as receivers, everyone talks about Davon Hall. People are talking about Kyrell Jordan. Kyrell Jordan's going to be their go-to guy.
He's got a South Dakota State offer.
Yes.
Yep.
Kyrell Jordan is like, because so much attention is going to be on Davon Hall, mm-hmm. I think Kyrell Jordan is the guy to watch. I think he's super shifty, quick. He's small in stature, he's short, but he's strong and physical enough and understands offense, obviously. The guy that I'm going to give you is Ben Goodwater. Ben Goodwater had 3 catches for 23 yards last year. He will have 50 catches for, I don't know, like 100.
We want a specific number.
Yeah. He'll have 50 may be aggressive. Let's go 35 catches. This is if healthy. 35 catches for, I'm going to go 526 yards and probably 5 touchdowns.
All right. You're going to be held to these numbers. We're going to come back at the end of the season. If you don't accomplish this, there will be some sort of penance. We'll figure out what that is.
That's fun. And their running back too is different. Is Charlie Gwinner. He's been injured the last 2 years. And so he hasn't played a lot. He's a name that nobody knows.
Yep.
And he beat out Gio Contreras and a couple other guys. He'll be their guy. So up front's going to be a little bit of the question for Bellevue West, but I'll save that for a little bit.
Yeah. And then we'll finish up here with the team that has played in the last 3 state title games in Omaha Westside. They're 1-2 in those games. They're going to look to try to even that score this year. They have another loaded team, and they reloaded in the offseason in a way that I didn't even know you could in high school football, when you just go out and there's Christian Jones joining your team. But they've got D1 recruits. They've got FCS guys. They have track superstars. They have a new coach, which I think is kind of a underrated subplot of the whole thing. But Omaha Westside feels like maybe the team that's sitting on the perch to start this year, just because you've made the last 3 state title games. And again, Caleb Benning, Christian Jones, Jalen Lloyd, the Rizak brothers. I mean, Jamez Ross, like they have names, but then there's a whole host of guys that just do their job in this program. I mean, I it's hard for me to talk about Westside without waxing poetic about it, but it's just been a really, really good program for the last few years, and it feels like we're headed to another year like that.
So they run a 3-4. They're back 8. They're you know, their linebackers and safeties and corners are, I don't go back to like the 80s and stuff, right? Because I was like a, you know, young child, elementary school kid in the 80s, but like it is clearly the best collection of talent with that back end of the defense that we have seen, that I have seen in Nebraska, and I've been doing this for over a decade. It is clearly the best. You have Caleb Benning, who, by the way, is really good. Like, really, really good. I'm not just saying that because his dad's my friend. That kid is really
good. Do you count Damon as a friend?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, like, I don't either. I don't know what to do.
It depends on the day.
Like, I know he doesn't count us as friends, so I'm not counting him as a friend.
Like, there's good days and bad days. So, like, you know, it's kind
of... You mean whatever. There's good days and there's Damon days?
Yeah, it's kind of like whatever mood he's in.
Sure.
He's either, like, really good friend, or he's like, oh, you're a media guy. I hate you, right? Like, it's one of those, right? So, you know, Caleb comes back. He had 68 tackles last year as a sophomore. Oh, and he missed like two games. Ty Kiefer is a senior defensive back. He'll play probably safety a little bit. If people are familiar with track in Nebraska, the Cotton last name from
Kenzo.
Yeah, yes. Keenan, his little brother, is a sophomore. He transferred over from Papillion-La Vista, started as a freshman last year for Papillion-La Vista. He'll play a lot. Oh, wait, they have Wes Okafor, last name, obviously familiar to Husker fans. Jeremiah Truitt came over from Central. He's a really long athlete, too. And Isaac Richard, I think, is a guy that's being left out in the conversation. So when you have that, that's your defensive backfield. Oh, yep. Wait, Jalen Lloyd is there too, who just happens to run really fast and is a fantastic athlete. So whenever you can take your starting corner from a team that made it to the championship game last year and move him to outside linebacker, even though he had four interceptions as a corner, three against Prep, actually, and Teddy Rezac, and you pair him with Christian Jones at outside linebacker, and they're both like, you know, 6'4", and like, you know, Christian's what, probably 210, 215, and Teddy's probably a little bit smaller than that, probably 180, 190. And then you bring in Kirk Kubrick, who was started middle linebacker for them last year, and he had 61 tackles and 10 for loss. And then you have Bo Ryan kind of filling a void at linebacker two in the middle. Bo Ryan's a really – that's a name that'll pop. Like, he's like this little hidden gem guy at Westside that no one talks about, but he's going to have a big year. That back end, again, that back end is just phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And then you return Anthony Rezac, who had, what, one interception last year? And 19 touchdowns. I think it was one. It was a very low number. If it wasn't one, it was a super low number. And I think that one came in the state championship game, and that was it. So, and he didn't even start the whole year. Oh, by the way, you have one of the best kickers in the state, and Tristan Alvano too. So, up front's going to be their question. They lost some stuff there, but they did get Cam Bell to come over from. They got Cam Bell to come over from Burke, followed.
Man, that high school transfer portal was hopping.
Oh, man, I don't even want to talk about it. Okay.
We don't have to talk about it. Real fast.
So, did anyone break any rules? No. Who cares then? Like,
I don't care. I just wanted to make the joke.
I'm just putting that out public. I don't care. Stop sending me messages or notes or emails or whatever about that. I could care less. As long as no one broke any rules, I don't care. I could care less. So anyway, Cam Bell came over, followed Lamanji, who, by the way, like, we're talking about a guy that won a state title at Omaha Burke and won over 100 games and all this stuff. Like, he's a really good football coach. I mean, you have a guy in Brett Front who is a really good football coach. He retires, and you replace him with this other guy, which there really isn't a question about if he's a good coach or not.
Sure.
Like, there's none. So it's how much do they use Jalen Lloyd on offense? I think he's the vertical threat, obviously. I think you just kind of say, hey, you run really fast past this guy, and we'll throw the ball up, and you go get it. Like, I think that's what you got to do. But, again – up front is a little bit of their question. Burke transfer again. Peyton McDonald is a senior that came over. He'll start. A junior, Brock Regner, will start for them on the line. Senior Sam Nordquist will start for them on the offensive line. Junior A.J. Jones played some last season on the offensive line, but he'll have to start this year. Dawson Hardwick is a guy that can play – kind of both guards and both tackles as a swing guy. So offensive line is going to be a little bit of a question. They have three good defensive linemen. Cam Bell can play both sides. He'll be the nose guard. RJ Eckert, He's a returning starter for them from last year. And Jonquel Osler is a junior that played sparingly, I guess, like had 3 sacks, but only 13 tackles, wasn't a starter. The up front is a little bit of the question. They have everything else.
Yep.
And oh, by the way, like, you know, Anthony Rizak's a pretty good quarterback too, who can use his legs and get out and stuff too. So they open obviously the rivalry game with West Side and Prep is next week or week one. Yeah. So, you know, Prep's first 2 weeks are like, actually their first 5 weeks are tough. I mean, if Prep starts the year 2-0, watch out. Like, so it's a challenge for them, very much so. But I do think that, you know, I think Prep's pretty good.
I don't want to spend too much time on this because we talked quite a bit about West Side, but is Christian Jones the next big recruit out of the state of Nebraska? Because that's kind of the feel that I have at this point in time. So if you kind of look at, and they've had a lot in the 2022, 2023. I mean, it's been a blessed run for the state, mm-hmm. quite frankly. And you keep thinking, okay, when is this going to end? So Christian Jones, 2025, like, I mean, this guy feels like the real deal to me. Like, I mean, I don't know where 24/7 Sports is going to put him in recruiting rankings, but just looking at him, talking to him, one, first of all, he doesn't give a hoot about his recruitment at all. All he cares about is just going out and playing the best football that he can for Westside. But I think he has a chance to be a pretty special in-state recruit that, you know, Nebraska and seemingly every regional school and maybe a few national ones are going to be coming after pretty hard.
Yeah, I think, you know, if he gets on the camp circuit next year.
Which he had no interest in doing. So that might cap some of that. Which, I mean, on one level, who cares? On another, you know, maybe he'll end up being underrated because of it.
Yeah, him and Caleb Benning, I think, are two guys that, like, could care less to do any of that stuff. Like,
worked out for Zane Flores, who didn't do any of that stuff.
Right. They don't care about the underwear Olympics, right? Like, they just don't. And CJ is a Christian, I guess CJ is what goes by, but he's a quiet kid, doesn't say a ton. And like you said, he cares, but he doesn't like care. Like, look at me, this recruitment, all this stuff. He knows he's good. Everyone around him knows he's good. He probably is the next like big ish thing, as long as he continues to keep developing. Right. So I think he's the pass rushing outside linebacker guy at the next level. Now in high school this year, he's going to play some, like, I don't know what they call it at Westside, but he's going to play some, we'll just call it wide receiver. But to me, it looks like the old wing back. So
like an H back of sorts.
Yeah. But he's kind of going to line up outside. Mm-hmm. He'll be kind of like a tight end. So I guess you call him a tight end on offense, but it looks a little bit different. So he's physical and he can run and catch and do all that stuff. I think those two right now are probably the guys to keep an eye on, and they won't go like they won't do the camp stuff. They have offers already.
Yeah, they don't need to chase.
Yeah, they don't need to chase them, and they have good ones. Yep. I mean, so we'll see. I mean, you know, Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota, all the regional schools know about them. I don't think they care about like anything outside of that.
Yeah. Okay. So we spent the first 32 minutes discussing seven teams in the Metro. Let us discuss at least one or two things outside of the Metro. I know it's hard. I know the Omaha folks don't like going too far from what they know. But I don't know if we can go 33 minutes without at least saying the name Malachi Coleman.
Yeah.
So got to get that in there. Lincoln East has to replace Noah Walters. That in itself is going to be a giant challenge. However, Malachi Coleman, as you were talking about Maverick Noonan, I had the same kind of thought. Malachi Coleman could be a wrecking ball for teams playing Lincoln East this year. I don't know how Lincoln East is going to be overall because there's a lot of things they have to kind of figure out. But Malachi Coleman's potential as an outside linebacker in a 3-4 for the Spartans this year is really, really high.
Yeah, I said this last year after watching them for the first time. I think he's a defensive player. That's just my opinion. Like,
and I'm with you.
Yeah, and I know people want him as a wide receiver. I know he'll probably end up starting out as a wide receiver, but his length and athleticism and quick twitch to like get off the ball and get to quarterback, I can just reach out and grab him. Like, right. I mean, he's so long. You know, he's got to physically develop to be if that's what he is going to end up being. Obviously, but like he could come in and probably make an impact as a wide receiver quicker. But I love him as a pass rusher, kind of defensive end, outside linebacker, and a 3-4 in space guy. He will have a lot of sacks this year.
Yeah.
Like probably double digit.
I've told everybody this, you were at the same game by the end of the year last year when East was playing Gretna. And they had a real chance of knocking off the team that won the state title. And I believe one of the guys you mentioned earlier that Gretna has to replace had a game-changing kick return in that same game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was as good as I'd ever seen him at that point, playing the run, too. I mean, he was pretty bad, or not bad strong. He wasn't as good against the run in September. But by the time you got to the end of October, beginning of November, in the playoffs, I mean, he was – is really good against the run. I think the jump that Malachi made last year as a player has me really excited to see what he looks like as a senior.
Yeah, I'm just interested. I obviously haven't been to their practice. I'm very interested to see quarterback. Like,
right. Right.
They, you know, but they have I will say this, a really good baseball team. And like, those guys can throw. So
they might have found another shortstop that's going to be playing quarterback for them.
Right. Or whatever. Like, there's, you know, I think they're going to be just fine. And I will say this, Coach Gingrich's ability to adapt to his personnel is phenomenal. Most coaches wouldn't do that. Like when he's like, okay, we have Noah Walters, we're going to spread this thing out and go fast. Like, that's not what he has always done. So his ability to adapt is pretty impressive for a guy that's coached football for a very long time. Like, most guys don't do that. So very interested to see, right? And they also lost Cooper Erickson. And he was big, strong kid. I think in Lincoln, I think it's Southeast, Southwest, and East, obviously, are the three that, you know, are head and shoulders. And frankly, I think probably Southwest is kind of right there. Like, they've had a couple, like a little dip, right?
Yep.
Years. I think they're kind of back. They return quarterback, running back, have some nice receivers and all that. I think they got a chance there. And Southeast, just with Gatula, and I just say Gatula and the Budenbox are like, and Bloom, who's committed to Northern Iowa. They got some really nice size and good kind of athletes. It's again, like, what are they going to get out of the quarterback position?
Yep.
Because frankly, like, and I'm, you know, this may make people mad, I don't care, but like, Jake Applegate was severely underused last year. Like, he just was.
Yep. They needed to use him like Millard South used Gage Stanger.
Gage Stanger. Yep. Exactly. We talked about this before. Like, just put him back there at quarterback and let him figure it out. Right. So that's, you know, that's just my opinion, but they do have a nice line. Obviously Gatula is that guy. Lincoln East opens up with Carney, who like lost a lot.
Yep.
But Coach Cool is one of the best coaches in the state without question. And that might be where I'll be. That's Thursday night game. So
I'll see you there.
Either that or Burke and Gretna is Thursday night too. So it depends.
Okay. All right. We hit a lot there. Let's kind of finish up with this. Who, if Mike Sauter is asked, and he's going to be asked right now by Mike Schaefer in an awkward sounding question, who are the five best players in the state, independent of position, independent of class? Give me the five guys that you think right now are the best players in the state of Nebraska.
Okay.
I know Zane Flores is on your list, so we can just check that one off. So give me the other four.
Maverick Noonan.
Okay.
For sure. And this is, when I say this, it's, I just want to clarify here. It is what they've done as a high school player, what I think they're going to do this year, and also what they project in college. It's a combination. So when I used to do player rankings, that's how I did it. Like, take the stats, look at the projection, all of that in one. So
I'm sure parents were really respectful of your player rankings.
Right. Very much so. Zane, Maverick, Malachi Coleman, Sam Sledge. That's four.
That's impressive. I don't think a lot of people would have Sam Sledge that high on their list, but I know enough football people, they view him as maybe the best offensive lineman in the state.
If he wouldn't shock me if he starts at center at Nebraska as a like redshirt freshman.
Wow.
Or redshirt sophomore.
Yeah.
Like one of those. I think he's going to play center. I think they're going to try him there first, but that wouldn't shock me. So I love Sam Sledge. Mm-hmm. I think he's amazing. He's been,
you got,
and then one more. Man, it's either Caleb Benning or Ben Bramer.
Okay.
I'm leaving out, like, Cade McIntyre is a good football player too.
Sure.
Like, I'm leaving out a couple.
Davon Hall.
Yeah.
Christian Jones.
Yeah.
But that's how deep the state is now. I just, every year I keep thinking, you've been doing this long enough. I remember what it was like in 2014, or, well, that's probably a bad year, because I think Gifford and DJ Foster would have fit in that. But there was a stretch in there where it wasn't that there wasn't good players in the state. They either weren't being identified as Power Five players or what have you. And I think that's kind of changed. But it just feels like there's so many more names that we know of earlier on now. And I think that speaks to places like Warren Academy and some of these off-season trainers that get guys ready. And it speaks to sort of the involvement of some of these guys. I mean, Deshaun Prince is a freshman for Omaha Benson. And that guy looks physically ready to play as a freshman. And he just started high school like a week ago.
Yeah. I think a big key has been, one, like you said, the workout training stuff, like with Steve's doing at Warren Academy and other guys. You know, there's Explosive Edge there too in Omaha that people come into Omaha, like drive hours to come in for. Like Ben Bramer from Pierce comes to Omaha to work out at Warren Academy. So I think parents have given a little bit, of their time and stuff to it. I also think, like, the we're just kind of getting started even on the 7-on-7 kind of culture in Nebraska. It was like about 5, 6, 7 years ago where it kind of like started, but then it really, now it's kind of starting to just climb. And I think that's totally helped. It's kind of like, it reminds me of the early 90s, late 80s with AAU basketball in Nebraska, where like they get out in front of coaches and now you're seeing offers and stuff. I think that's why the skill has
exploded. You're
starting to see a lot more of it. Yeah. I think that's a huge piece that is a little bit forgotten. The 2023 class right now, there's 9 power conference commitments. There are 10 with offers right now today. Mason Goldman at Gretna is the one. He just got Arizona State offer last night. He's had Kansas and Wyoming and stuff too. So in Wyoming, I know, is not a power conference school, but Kansas is, and Arizona State offered. So that's 10. Like, when's the last time that happened?
I don't know. I wasn't expecting 10 coming into the year. I'll tell you that.
No. I mean, and a guy, Benny Nagoya at Lincoln High. We didn't even talk about him.
Yep. Yeah.
So, good point. He's committed to Iowa State. So another good, like, track athlete guy. Imagine that, like, all these guys are track guys. I mean, Zane Flores is a triple jumper. Not many people knew that unless you're
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Zane Flores was I think he got like fifth in state, sixth something, maybe placed at state. I know he placed at Metro. I think he got second or third at the Metro Conference Tournament in the triple jump. Like, that's pretty decent, right? Like, track helps football players. Wrestling helps football players. Basketball helps football players. I think more and more you're seeing that. And it's kind of neat to see.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Mike. Well, we only went long by about, I don't know, 10 minutes or so, which is pretty good for us. I feel like
if people know I talk, I feel decently passionate about this. So,
well, you're a fountain of knowledge. So that certainly helps out. Where can people, besides this podcast, where can people find your work?
Yeah. So nebpreps.com. So just NEB, it's nebraskapreps.com. Nebpreps.com is the website where you can find recruiting information on in-state kids. There's feature stories on kids. We just did one about Charmar Brown and his twin brother, Armar Brown, which it goes by Joe. So that one's good there. And there's a nice feature we did on the Noonans as a family. So there's we don't write game stories, but we replace it with other things, what we like to call celebrating the story differently. And so that's there. I'm going to do some different stuff on, you know, the Instagrams and TikToks and all that this year, Snapchats and stuff too, with video highlights of games and things. Hey, website's completely free too. Like, there's no subscription. You just read it. And there isn't a bunch of pop-up ads. So, yeah.
Look at that. All right. Mike, we appreciate your time as always. We'll have to do this again. Maybe get a couple weeks into the season and we can start dissecting stuff.
Hey, whenever you would like, I'm game. I don't rarely say no to people.
So. It's true. And you have never said no to me, which I appreciate.
My wife would appreciate me saying no to a lot more things, but I kind of say yes to a lot. She says no to me a lot.
Well, I mean, this is a family friendly show, Mike. Let's be careful here.
All right.
That's Mike Sauter. You know him from NEB Preps. You know him from Twitter. You know him from a local high school gym or a football field or a softball field or anywhere. That's, you know, if there's high school sports going on, Mike Sauter can be found. Appreciate your time as always. Be sure to check out everything we got going on Husker 24/7. I will not be at the game tonight, but I will start my high school coverage. I'll start my high school coverage next week with week one. I'm only focusing on one week zero game this year, and that's Nebraska. So that's a determination I made when I realized that I've misread the schedule. But all right. Well, let's get out of here. Check out Husker 24/7. We'll have more podcast content coming up next week as well as we get you ready for Nebraska going over to Ireland. Mike Sauter, thank you for your time. We'll catch everybody next week.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.